Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome back as we discuss romances and relationships in our four nice selections this year, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula.
Yeah, definitely Rochester is not a modern model of how to treat somebody with a mental health condition.
Right.
The facts of the times was that a lot of people who had mental health conditions were treated poorly in the 1830s, often locked away.
Yeah.
The main difference I see is that general society might lock them away into an asylum where they never have to see that mm-hmm. person again. Rochester locks her away in a mansion with a full-time caretaker.
Yeah.
A drunk caretaker.
Yeah, and that could be taken two ways. It could be mm-hmm. either seen as he was trying to protect her in his own way, keeping her a secret from the world, all that stuff. Or it could be taken that it was more to protect not so much her personally, but his reputation and controlling her, I guess would be, uh-huh. you know, kind of it for her to be in his control when he's literally said he hates her, okay? That's a like a red flag that, you know, there could be some control issues there, that he needs control over her. So locking her up in his own castle, as it were, mm-hmm. is could be seen as both a kindness or an absolute cruelty. And
right.
and I come down more on the cruelty side, but that's not really relevant, you know, in this part of our conversation, because I think you're right that given when this story takes place, he may not be the modern model of how to treat someone with mental health condition, but he's pretty much on target for how a wealthy man would treat a woman, especially a wife, in that time period if she exhibited any behaviors that he could claim were insane. You know, mm-hmm. if he could label her that way, he had every right legally to do exactly what Rochester has done. So
I agree with that, and I think it's even more than gender issues. I think that even if you had a male relative
yeah. mm-hmm.
who, you know, had some sort of severe mental illness or disability, the idea of sending them away
mm-hmm.
so they weren't reflecting immediately on the
yeah.
family was extremely common. And so the best that you could hope for in that time period is, you know, maybe they're kept in a family, maybe if you're wealthy, you know, you have a nice asylum where, you know, you are exposed to the outdoors, you have access to entertainment like libraries, you have your own private room.
Mm-hmm.
What's more common, especially if you're a, quote, pauper lunatic, meaning you're poor,
mm-hmm.
is that, yeah, we know that those got to be quite overcrowded.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they were treated as workhouses.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, absolutely, some of them were isolated, chained, beaten, or simply neglected.
Yeah.
We need to be upset with society,
mm-hmm.
both then, but also for ways in which we disadvantage people with mental illnesses
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah.
And so, sure, I am mad at Rochester for where he fails, but I also respect he's a product of his time.
Exactly.
I am upset with stuff that's going on even now with, you know, stigma
mm-hmm.
and lack of access to proper health care
mm-hmm.
for those with mental conditions. And I think, especially those people who write, you know, fan fiction and books from Bertha's perspective, even if I may not agree with that exact interpretation of the book, I think those are great ways to launch into exploring those important topics.
I agree, and I think it's interesting that we're going to end up talking about these themes of madness and isolation in future episodes, when we just had the anniversary of the ADA being, you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act passage and everything, and so that's big in the news right now, and yet you can look everywhere in our society and still find stigmas and problems and issues in dealing with people with disabilities, whether they're mental disabilities or physical disabilities, hidden disabilities, obvious disabilities. I mean, we have a long way to go, you know, we have a long way to go. So I think we have some timely issues to talk about for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think even more than the issue of madness in Rochester's eyes is the issue that he sees himself as having been deceived by Bertha and her whole family and his family.
Yeah.
But I think he has a big issue with that.
That is probably the part of the way he describes what happened to Jane. That's the part that sticks in my craw, as it were, is that I feel like underneath all his excuses, if you will, just let me use that word for this moment, his excuses about how crazy she is and how violent she is, there's that underlying thing that what he really can't get over is that he was deceived. Mm-hmm. And that's an embarrassment to him. That has put him in a place of humiliation, and he wants to take control and turn that around. And mm-hmm. and so that's part of how I don't really see that side of him as a positive in this particular relationship. I do think that had he thrown her in some asylum where she would be treated like garbage, that would be worse, I guess, than living in his home with this drunken caretaker. But, I mean, what did he think was going to happen by having her locked up in the attic? I mean, come on, you know. I mean, that just seems like a recipe for disaster, you know. So
right. I do also take exception to the fact that Grace Poole, we know she has demonstrated a pattern of getting drunk and falling down on the job.
Right. And when did that start? Was she driven to drink because she was taking care of this crazy woman? And also, I mean, think of that. She was as isolated as Bertha is. You know, she was as locked up as Bertha. I mean, I might take to drink too. I don't know. So the whole thing is very problematic. But I think one of the most best things you said, and we kind of glossed right over it, is that, you know, taking in historical context, what he does, what happens, makes sense. And to judge him from today's standards is not really our job. Or, you know, we can discuss it in terms of modern situations and modern context, but not in a judgmental way. He's a character, a fictional character of a certain time and place in a fictional novel, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the same issue we have with Gone with the Wind and Little Women. Not so much with Dracula, because that's so supernatural and everything. We have to kind of, that's in its own little category. But we have a lot of the same kind of issues of judging and being judgmental about behavior and characters and stuff in all these books, because we're looking at them through the lens of our own modern society. And so I need to cut Rochester a little bit of a break when it comes to, you know, locking up his wife.
I do want to credit Rochester, which, even though it's problematic how he treats Bertha,
sure,
that in the end, he does come from, and she is a real physical threat to him, his guests, his house, mm-hmm. At various points in the book. But in the end, he does risk his life to try to save her from a fire that she set to Thornfield Hall.
Yeah.
And as a consequence, loses one eye, a hand, mm-hmm. and for several years, he is blind.
Yeah.
And so I just like the fact that as problematic as this relationship is, he does manage in that to show that he is willing for at least once to put her needs first and ahead of his own.
Yeah, I think the biggest tell on Rochester being a bad guy in this is something that you mentioned in our notes when you were talking about how he feels, you know, entrapped and deceived early on as a young person in this relationship, and that we see him then repeat that pattern of lies in his lifetime later, you know, later on. He becomes just as manipulative, just as much of a liar as his father, the Masons, and Bertha supposedly all did to him. And so that's a very interesting thing. But yeah, she definitely poses a physical threat. You know, I had some thoughts about this idea of his definition of cruelty, because, you know, you were talking about she has the violent temper that she's perfectly willing to take out on him. And what is that quote that he says about her cruelty?
rolling up. Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
The quote that I found is when he is describing to Jane, explaining this relationship mm-hmm. for the first time, the only cruelty would check, and then he's referring back to her vices, mm-hmm. and I would not use cruelty.
Right, and he's talking about physical, like, responding physically when she's physically violent, and he's not willing to do that. Now, you know, I would question his idea of what's cruel simply because he's locked her up and chained her up for, you know, however long. But we do have that in his favor, that he doesn't take it out on her physically in a battering kind of way. You know, he may physically have her chained up and locked up and guarded 24/7 supposedly. But so, you know, his idea of cruelty might be a little bit in question, but at least he's not like beating her up every other day or something. And I think that's a, you know, we gotta give him that at least, you know, because it in the context of their relationship in this story, that would have to be a very frustrating relationship for both of them. Mm-hmm. And to not resort to physical violence, that would be the easiest thing to do, especially in context of this time period and everything, for both of them. I mean, it's the easiest thing in the world. It's the only thing Bertha can do is lash out physically, right? She has no other way of expressing herself. If he came back with physical violence against her, that would be the easiest thing he could do. He doesn't do that other than having her locked up and chained up, you know? So, but yeah, I think he's a complex character. Let's just say that.
Sure.
He's a complex character.
Yeah.
Join us next time as we continue our discussion in our four nice books, Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Little Women, and Dracula. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.